Did Phil Spencer absolutely drop the ball on an Xbox podcast that he overhyped? Is Sony on the ropes when it comes to exclusives? And Gary V's live streaming a full day on Twitch, which means that maybe you should too? This and more on this episode of Playconomics. On everybody, and welcome to episode 129. Jesus Christ, we should just end this here.
We have been doing this too long for you to not like, comment, and subscribe on this video. We've 100%. Been getting phenomenal interaction on our most recent videos. Love you guys, love seeing it. But remember, like, comment, subscribe. It lets us keep doing this instead of our
day jobs.
I thought
you were going to cry for a second. I thought you were like breaking down with an Oscar speech.
No, I had to burp. It lets us do this instead of our day jobs. So
I'm one of your hosts, Bobby Kowecki, and joining with me today is the soon-to-be-married Liffin, Jersey Mike's Eaton, or Wawa. Do they have Jersey Mike's in Jersey?
Yes.
Is there like
Jersey Mike's?
Is there like a gang warfare going on between them and Wawa?
No, because Jersey Mike's is Subway. Wawa is an experience.
Well, listen, on the hierarchy of gas stations,
it is below Buc-ee's.
Yes.
I will.
God himself is below two, Buc-ee's.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's number
all
two,
Judeo-Christian
though.
Icons of major religions are below Buc-ee's.
The Buckster
himself.
This is not a Buc-ee's podcast.
This is not
you
the
have a time crunch.
Yeah, this is not the episode of the Buckcast, okay?
We are talking about Xbox. So, Bobby, before you get into it, I'm going first on the Xbox One.
Before we get into the bloodbath, can I share my anecdote that I sent you the picture of?
Yes.
So, for my day job, I do this, but on a professional scale, and I produce the podcast featuring a very prominent member, high ranking, of a very prominent company who joined the podcast from his bedroom. And as I was editing the podcast, as I was post-producing the podcast, mm-hmm. I noticed a fucking Xbox in his back room there.
And that episode.
I put my hard drive in the microwave. Okay. I don't need that on my work MacBook here. No.
He has enough here.
But what I found funny beyond words about this is because this man is an economist, analyst. He works in the financial sector in regards to housing. Could you imagine being 12 and being killed by this guy? And instead of whatever, swear words or slurs that you would usually expect to get thrown at you, he starts telling you about like the housing market and the 10-year treasury yield. I thought that was hysterical.
What industry do your parents work for?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Be prepared for layoffs.
Yep.
You like that house you're living in?
Not for
good
long.
Good luck staying
Timmy.
In it for the year.
Jacob, good luck. Good luck, Jacob.
So what we're going to get into first here, and this is going to be a hard topic. This is going to be a hard topic for everybody. But one, I would like to extend Bobby the opportunity before I do this to apologize for himself, Colin from Sacred Symbols, and Twitter as a whole for blowing this way out of proportion. Bobby predicted that Phil Spencer was going
to
step down.
I really jumped to the fences on that one.
Everybody else was saying that all Xbox games were coming to all platforms. Colin said that the only way for this to keep going is if they got rid of the console system and went full subscription.
No. Don't mischaracterize his words. He just said Game Pass was not a profitable model. He said nothing.
Yeah, and we'll discuss that because I
34
you've said that
people
as well. Listen. You all owe Xbox an apology because for the last 2.5 weeks, everyone has blown this out of proportion, saying this is the end of Xbox. Clickbait.
Including us, we've had several videos on it.
We owe Xbox an apology. But now, thanks to the CPA And CPA, I told you I would shout you out this because he gave me the timestamp of the episode, our own episode. So again, I totally could have done this, but CPA, the credit where credit is due. I'm going to share my screen.
Without any hard numbers. They haven't released sales numbers. They haven't released user count. They haven't. We've played 9 million minutes.
34 million Game Pass members can all enjoy.
Interesting. Interesting. Wait. It's almost as if there's another screen that I have to share directly from Xbox. Hold on. Is this a document called Xbox is currently carrying or being carried by Xbox Game Pass? Oh my God. In their Q2 reports, Xbox content and services grew up to 61%, up 66, including 55 points on the net impact of the Activision acquisition. Oh, look. Xbox content and services revenue grew 13%.
What's the date on that Google Doc that you made yourself?
This was today. Or I made this like 3 days ago.
So you made this. Okay, it's not an official Xbox document. Okay.
Don't worry. No. Hold on. Xbox content and services grew 13%, driven by the growth of first-party content and Xbox Game Pass. Oh, look at this. Q4 2023, Xbox content and services revenue grew 5% by growth in third-party content and Xbox Game Pass. Xbox content and services 3%, driven by the growth of Xbox Game Pass. Do I need to go on?
That's a lot of numbers, Matt. I'm glad that you're in like, MBA school they taught you all about that. Do me a favor. Let me share my screen because I think
hold
you're
on,
right.
Hold
I
on.
Do owe
hold
you
on, hold on,
an
hold
explanation.
On. And do you know where I got all this information from? Yeah. The Xbox Investors page where they release their queues. Okay. And they release their conference calls. And they release all of this nice I'm not sharing it. Hold on. Mm-hmm. One more. Allow me.
You know exactly where this is going, audience. Let him set up his board.
Look at all of these. Mm-hmm. These are all things directly from Xbox. Oh, my God. Oh, this was the 2023 numbers that I showed. And, look at this. More 2023 numbers. And it continues into 2022 and 2021. And the inception of Xbox, where they continuously report how it's continually grown.
A lot of numbers. Is that your best shot?
Those are all of my shots.
Well, buddy, I have some words for you. First off, allow me to screen share if you might.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the fuck he wants.
So let's just start with that. Let's just start with the fact that I'm not apologizing to anybody, least of which is Phil Spencer. Let's break down Phil's comments, right?
Okay.
I have an article from The Verge here. I can drop it in the chat, and I'll drop it, or Matt will drop it in the show notes, so that all of you basement-dwelling troglodytes who play on a console that's green
Curious, is it by Tom Warren?
Yes, it is.
I love me some Tom Warren. Okay. Yeah, credible source.
Okay. So let's go right from Phil's words, okay? Mm-hmm. Tom Warren asks, so not every Xbox game is going to suddenly come to rival consoles. Context for this, they announced that 4 games during the podcast were coming to other consoles, Switch and PlayStation, those games being Pentiment, which we could have called Sea of Thieves, which you all could have known, Grounded, which I don't. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's an awesome game. It's like a sandbox MMO. It's really cool, and it needs people for it to work. So it's completely understandable that they would bring Grounded to cross-platform.
And Hi-Fi Rush, okay.
Which they've basically announced already.
Right. But Microsoft, reading from the article, Microsoft is clearly considering the potential for more games in the future. I asked Spencer whether there will be multi-platform games, especially if these 4 are successful. And now Phil Spencer gives his duplicitous both sides of his mouth answer. Yeah, but we haven't seen that yet. We're obviously one of the biggest publishers on Sony and Nintendo today. So he is claiming that he is one of the biggest publishers on Sony and Nintendo predicated on Minecraft?
Activision.
Okay, so he's taking
and
that
Minecraft,
L early.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing from the article. When you think about Activision Blizzard and Bethesda's lineups of games, so we know what it means to ship game on Steam, PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox. These are games that originally launched on Xbox. They were Xbox-branded games, and we wanted to see what happens because going and doing the development work to bring them to a new platform is real work.
Yep.
That's 100%. What is the real work there?
I don't know. You said that it's because of PC and not Sony that they can't port their games to PC.
But this so is my why point. Would it... What is you're telling me this real work happens at, you know, I don't hear Rockstar complaining about the real work when they have to bring their games multi-platform.
Because they're building one game in a 15-year period.
Okay, I don't hear Ubisoft complaining that Assassin's Creed...
Their games are dog shit.
Dairy Queen.
Their games are dog shit. Like, the development of multiple games for one platform. And you've said it yourself, that in order to make a good game, it needs to be crafted on proprietary engines and built directly for your own system, and because of that you're able to deliver a better experience. So how are you going to then walk that whole statement back and say
I'm not walking the statement back. What I'm saying is quantify your specifications of work. Just saying that there's work that needs to go into it as you're making these grandiose overtures about the work.
They're not grandiose overtures. They're saying
that they're rebuilding these from the ground up for other platforms.
No, but there is a significant amount of work that needs to go into this that's not going to the development of new games.
Okay, fair enough. I'm scrolling down the article here. Microsoft is now reading from Tom Warden. Microsoft is now seizing the opportunity to put its games elsewhere, or Xbox Everywhere, as the company refers to it internally. We're making these decisions for specific reasons, says Spencer. We have to make decisions with long-term health of Xbox in mind, which means a growing platform. Our game platforms, building the best platform for creators, interesting, reaching as many players as we can. We're always looking to learn as a leadership team, and grow. We think this is the interesting point in the time for us to do what other platforms have right now to help our franchises grow.
Okay.
Xbox fan reactions will inform Microsoft's next steps. I will always take the feedback from our most ardent fans seriously, admits Spencer, who's not sold out the idea of exclusives always helping Xbox console sales. We know today when people are playing, their affinity for their platform is as much about their friends and where their game library is as any kind of one exclusive game. I know there's this fictitious world where people think that one exclusive game kind of kicks off the sales of the platform, but the industry just doesn't really work that way today. Does it, Phil? I wonder, Matt, do you think Phil has ever heard of, what is this little indie game, Mario? There's this other little indie game, Zelda. I think you might have heard of it. What's that other? Pokemon.
Okay.
And all of those are multi-platform? No, they're not, Phil. So for you, in the face of a handheld hybrid console, whatever the hell you want to call it, that has just absolutely slapped you around, predicated solely on exclusives, to say that, you know what, exclusives, consoles just don't work that way anymore. Well, they do, Phil. Software doesn't, but consoles do. And that's what I think the greatest impasse and takeaway here was, aside from the fact that on your 34 million subscribers, yeah, those new subscribers were just Xbox Gold people that they rolled into Game Pass. So they're like,
okay, so now they have numbers and they're not good enough anymore. So you're just continuously going to move the goalposts.
You want them to release numbers. Opted into Game Pass. Those aren't new people.
I'm just saying
who opted into Game Pass. That was a.
You're just saying you asked for subscriber numbers. They gave them to you. Mm-hmm. Now you need subscriber numbers minus whatever the transition
minus the fake ones. Yes, minus the people who didn't go out of their way to subscribe.
So next time they will differentiate between Game Pass owners and then Game Pass owners. Good tactic. Yes, because it is currently Game Pass.
Everything's Game Pass now. So they basically said, ooh, what if we just...
A similar service line that PlayStation did.
No. So with PlayStation Plus, there are, number one, several tiers. And when Sony announces their numbers...
As with Game Pass.
Okay. And when Sony announces their numbers, they segment them. Here is my biggest takeaway from this, because I think the audience is tired of listening to us jabber on. Mm-hmm. No, Phil Spencer didn't fucking resign. No, this isn't the end of Xbox. But what this is a clear first shot of, this is the first step to what everybody was worried about, in the sense that Microsoft becomes fully across the board a SaaS company. Microsoft no longer sells bespoke products on any of its productivity platforms, right? You can't just buy Excel and Word. You have to have a, what the hell is it, Microsoft One account?
Microsoft 360.
Microsoft
365, right? Yeah.
Okay. That's a business model that works. It's a business model that scales. That's a business model mm-hmm. that is way more profitable, we see, than anything else, right? Now, if I was a company like Microsoft and I had all of this experience in SaaS wins and I have very comparatively minimal wins on the hardware side of things, not just Xbox. I mean, you remember the Windows phone?
I mean, they have PCs, but...
They do, but my point is Microsoft as a company, the best Microsoft PCs aren't made by Microsoft. They're made by Dell. They're made by HP. The software that powers them is Microsoft. What is the Microsoft iPad that has a keyboard? You know what I'm talking
about? Surface.
Yeah, the Surface. Okay. That is not even in the top five of best-selling home computers.
Fair. The okay. Surface does suck.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that this is the first pivot to a fully SaaS model. And you can go back and I've said that the ultimate ending for all of this, you know, episode 2 probably, where I say the future for all of this is you have a stick that you plug into your TV and then you log into your Xbox and you log into your PlayStation and you log into your Nintendo.
Yeah, and it's going there anyway. And Microsoft is just the first person to realize that this is where games are going and this is where we're going to take it. And there's nothing wrong with being ahead of the market on an inevitability.
So here's my next question to you. And this isn't a gotcha. It's a thought provoker. Mm-hmm. You see the current zeitgeist that is going on between streaming platforms and movie studios.
Sure.
Okay. At what point do we reach that if we already haven't with games? And two, what is the result of that?
So you're saying the thing where like they're not paying people enough and there's a like the strikes and the...
No.
What is the zeitgeist you're referring to?
It's not so much about the people, but all about the business model, right? Like mm-hmm. studios hemorrhage money. They needed to detonate a nuclear bomb in Oppenheimer to put asses in seats this year.
Oh, for like movie theaters?
For just that single ticket service business model rather than the subscription.
Yeah. So you're asking when does video games get to where a game needs to be so big and so good that in order to be profitable or it needs to go on a subscription service?
Correct.
I don't think we're there yet. Talk to me after GTA cost $1 billion.
Because how much money do you think GTA is going to make?
Make? A metric fuck ton. But it doesn't matter. A studio that's constantly putting out multiple games cannot be crafting a game at $1 billion a clip. It's not sustainable. And we're going to talk about how it's not sustainable
in a second. Bring up Embracer Group.
No, we're going to bring up Sony not having any games for 2024. Yeah, but we'll get into that because I didn't give my thoughts on Xbox.
Yes, please do. Because
this was a whole nothing burger. And people overhyped, overdeveloped, and just completely tried to eviscerate Xbox on grounds that were unsubstantiated by anything Xbox has ever said. And all that leaked was that four games are coming to... that are going to be multi-platinum, and everyone lost their minds.
Yeah, all and you people just, saying Phil Spencer should resign, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. But to have Sea of Thieves in MMO cross-platform is a no-brainer. It should have never released as an exclusive. Grounded. I was completely unaware that it was an exclusive because of how much it should not be an exclusive. Hi-Fi Rush was a Switch game anyway. If you weren't going to put it on PlayStation, fine, put it on the Switch. I wonder how much this game is selling for, because if it's $60, it's too much money. If you could get this for like $30-$40, this is a solid $30-$40 price. Yeah, if it's Helldivers price, this is a good game for $30-$40. And then what was the last one that I had no interest in at all?
Pentiment, your game of the year.
Pentiment.
The ultimate 10.
I have not yet gotten through. It does get very, very good.
You should play Pentiment on PlayStation.
I have not yet gotten all the way through it. And what sucks about Pentiment is once you leave the game, it's so difficult to come back because everything is predicated on choice. And it's not like a Baldur's Gate choice where, like, you can do this and you can do this. And there's all game in between that you're, like, living with your choices. It's just, oh, you chose this. If you don't select that, like, thought line of answer later on, they're going to know you're lying. And I'm like, that's excruciatingly painful to do for a 20-hour experience.
Get them out all of here. In get one Pentiment sitting. Out of here. We don't want that.
But it turned from a very dumb side-scrolling, like, just art piece to a insane murder mystery game that is just in the Crusade-esque era. Awesome game. I do recommend it, and I think it's going to do really well on PlayStation, but that's unrelated. Overall, this was nothing, and people completely overhyped the fact that Xbox was bringing games to other platforms, and then the same people are hyping out how big of a success Helldivers 2 has been on Steam, and that Sony is doing a good job for bringing its games multi-platform. We're crucifying Xbox for it, but then when Sony does it, it's tasteful and tactful and brilliant business strategy.
It's the difference between artistic nudity and OnlyFans, Matt, okay?
We're going to get into
one's a subscription platform, the other one hangs in a museum.
We're going to get to, and the other one is also a strip club. Is that the same? Because that would be that's a, like, single thing I'm that's not a subscription.
Like, Sony is like, you know that painting of, like, the lady and the clam? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I don't. Yes, you do. Everybody knows lady inside. There's like a clam opening. She's standing there and she's. It's a very famous painting.
Whatever. I don't do art. So we're going to transition into PlayStation not having literally any first party exclusives for 2024 and potentially early 2025. So, Bobby, your thoughts on how Sony is possibly going to do this and why Xbox is getting such bad press, even though Sony is literally doing nothing at this point, and all they are doing is the exact thing that everyone is crucifying Xbox for, but they are getting away with it. Go, thoughts.
So, reading from this article by Darren Bonthuys over on GameSpot, he is citing a financial call with SIE boss Hiroki Totoki. Great name, by the way.
Love that.
I'm changing.
Love when a name rhymes. Love when a name rhymes.
And Hiroki Totoki says, regarding first-party software, we aim to continue to focus on producing high-quality works and developing live service games, but while major projects are currently under development, we do not plan to release any new major existing franchise titles in the next fiscal year, like God of War Ragnarok or Marvel's Spider-Man 2. All of the burden of acquisition-related costs will ease next fiscal year. We expect profit from first-party software to decrease slightly from this fiscal year due to the impact of decrease in sales.
Okay, so before you go, on this podcast, you've been hypercritical about Xbox's inability to put out games while going through a major acquisition. Mm-hmm. They just went through a major acquisition that was to the 10 times more intensive than the one that Sony did with Bungie. Mm-hmm. And they still managed to put out games in 2023, and they still managed to put out games in 2024.
So what is your metric? So hold on, just so I understand, because what is your metric for success? Is it put out games first or put party out game. Good games?
They were...
Call of Duty?
So, no. Call of Duty doesn't count yet. It'll count this year. This fiscal year, when it comes out in November 2024, I will count Call of Duty. It is under the Xbox umbrella. That game was fully in development and had no Xbox oversight in 2023. What I consider a game is a major game that has been worked and developed. The success of a game is largely based on how it performs once it is developed. The vision they have for that game does still matter during the development time. It took them 12 years to develop Starfield. I'm giving them credit for shipping Starfield, regardless of the fact that they're in a merger acquisition perpetual state. Is it a 10 out of 10? No. Is it a solid game that I think is still beneficial to being in the Xbox ecosystem? Yes. Do I think it increased Game Pass sub numbers? Also, yes. And that's all that matters. Hi-Fi Rush, it's not a 10 out of 10. It's still a really good game. Pentiment is a 10 out of 10. And why the argument of is it a good game doesn't really matter, because it's an arbitrary metric based on a 10 out of 10 Metacritic. Pentiment got it. Do you consider that a good game?
No. I'd rather have
3 7 out of 10s in a year than zero. What did Spider-Man get? Because it should have gotten an 8 out of 10 maximum.
I feel like it landed around there, if not a 9. Hold on.
I'm not done. They have
setting you on fire during your bachelor party.
Sony has is now blaming an acquisition for their inability to put games out for 2024, 2023 and 2024. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming early 2025. How is that any different than what you have been crucifying Xbox for? Because they are feeling the struggles, even though this acquisition was not done until last year. So the game development process, where are the games? Where are the games they should have been working on before this that released during this time? It doesn't make sense to scapegoat an acquisition. They absolutely fumbled Bungie, and Bungie fumbled themselves. No. They fumbled the Bungie purchase. They should not have done it.
Correct.
They should not have done that, and that is their own fault and bad business. And now they are blaming a mistake they made, an acquisition, something they could not handle, on the lack of games. And you have repeatedly crucified Xbox for it. What is different in this circumstance?
Everything you say holds merit. After reading this, and this isn't a what he might have said, what we thought he said. No. This is the head of Sony PlayStation. It's just
a direct quote.
Fucking saying it.
Yep.
They panicked. They made an acquisition that they shouldn't have. They tried to pivot towards live games, which they shouldn't have.
And why did they pivot towards live games? Just out of curiosity. Like, what are they doing to pivot? Like, why are they pivoting?
Why? Because they feel that is where that the industry is heading, and that is what they needed to float their larger projects.
Oh, is it because their games are
expensive,
too
high
long
quality and good? Yes.
They're taking too long
expensive,
and costing too much money?
And good. Yeah.
Expensive, okay, so now we're on the same page with the video game industry.
Expensive,
massive BioSoft award going to you right now.
No, I've been saying that
major
forever.
BioSoft. No.
Yes.
Oh, you have.
Pull the tapes. I will not come back on this podcast.
CPA, I need you to go through our footage and see how many times did I say that Sony is running into a problem because their games take too long to develop and they cost too much money. And how many times did Bobby say that? Because I guarantee you, Bobby said it on this episode and this episode alone.
Oh, you're
I
about
said
to,
it on this episode.
Get
the episode before.
You're about to get
the episode
hit by
before
a
that.
Semi of truth.
Here's CPA, thing, if you could do this, long. You're our Discord mod.
Why
I said
would you
I said.
Give him that power?
He has to do it.
We are now seeing the ramifications of this going into a year that is primed for tumult across the industry. I know we're going to talk about Twitch a little bit. I think we should also touch on Embracer Group, just bleeding people. I think we are on the back end of this ravenous acquisition time. I think that across the board, money was too cheap during COVID. We saw that on the small scale with homes, and we're seeing that on the large scale with companies, right? I think that moving forward, I think the best thing for everybody in this industry, take a step back and just quadruple down on what they do best, individually so. So if you're Microsoft and your ultimate goal is monthly active users on Game Pass, great. Don't even
sub.
Don't even bother trying to work for exclusives or big things. Do what you got to do to get subs.
Even though they're currently doing both.
Yeah. My point is,
I played 2 Game of the Year.
I can't wait for it not to even be nominated.
It's not going to be nominated because it's going to be a 4-hour-long game and I'm going to throw my controller against the wall because I found that out and was like, I've been putting all of my ducks into this basket and there is no shot.
Unlike Warhammer 40K Space Marine to the real.
Because I Googled why Hellblade 1 wasn't nominated in 2017, and they're like, because it's a 7-hour game. And I was like, well, fuck, bud.
I think Sony should double down on bigger projects, floating it with Marvel shit. I'm not happy about it, but clearly that's a more sustainable version than mass acquisition. And I think Nintendo is going to, as they always have, end up being the ultimate winner in this.
Yep, because they're going to release another half-baked. I got sent by the CPA the other day a
rumor about Johto remake.
It's a Johto black and white fusion where you're bouncing between.
Let me tell you,
like historic Johto and future black and white. And they'll never do it because that sounds cool.
No, they did it with Sinnoh region.
No, this is all in one thing. Like it's a normal Pokemon game, but you bounce between historic Johto and real time.
I don't want
it. Could you imagine Assassin's?
You know why I don't want it? Because they were like, what if we just nerfed Typhlosion? What if we nerfed arguably the coolest fucking starter ever? What if we made him drowsy, sleepy, soft little soy boy?
I would like to note he did get better competitively,
but
fire ghost type.
Yeah. But the design.
Yeah, I don't know why he looks like he smokes like 6 vape cartridges a day and still lives in his mom's basement. But like, listen, he's better competitively.
Went from being a total Chad,
total Giga Chad.
Johto Typhlosion is the best.
But
nothing.
To succinctly re-summarize your point.
Summarize my point. Sony is feeling the ramifications of decisions that they made during a panic. That's not an excuse. It's context as to why they did what they did. Doesn't mean it was the right decision. It clearly wasn't. What I'd like to see out of them is fine. Take your 2024. Give me only Stellar Blade, Final Fantasy VII, and Rise of the Ronin. Whatever. There'll be enough multi-platform shit to sustain me in the meanwhile.
Yep.
But come 25, Sony.
Imagine if FF7 wasn't coming out this year.
It would be catastrophic.
Yeah. And I think part of what makes Sony being able to like succeed through this time period is one, their relationship with Square Enix and them considering them basically first party. Because like if I went up on the street and a normal consumer of video games is like, oh, the game is only on this console, therefore this console gets all of the credit, obviously one-to-one. We know it's not first party and we classify the difference. I mostly do it because it makes my argument against Sony better, but I cherry pick a little bit. They also know I would say they probably have an influence on development cycle for those games. And strategically placed them during drought years where they knew this was going to happen 3 years ago. And were like, Square Enix, I really need you to get your shit together and get 16 out in this year. And Square Enix, I really need you to get your shit together and get this out Q2 of 2024. Because we're in a bad way. And you Square want Enix us to buy like, yes, you Daddy, in 5 years.
Of course.
Yeah. And Square Enix was like, do you want DLC for Final Fantasy 16 too? Like in the same year? Like we could have just included it in the game, but it'll be DLC. We could do that. Like for you? Where's Jim Ryan?
Now what the hell's going on at Twitch?
Twitch is on the come up. Another thing Bobby has been wrong about over the last podcast is that over the last 5 months, Twitch viewership has grown month over month and has broken Twitch records month over month for the last five months. And I think it is largely due to some of the games that have been coming out recently and how
much fun Helldivers is to play with your friends online.
No, Helldivers is not. If you look at the article, Helldivers is not one of those.
Just because you're not man enough to join me in Robot Vietnam.
I will never play Helldivers. I have no interest in it. Listen, it got us a lot of views and I'm really glad that people are enjoying it. It's not my game. I will play any other live service game than a shooter. Actually, I'll just play Apex.
I was about to have you dead to rights with that one.
Yeah, I'll just play Apex. Basically, it's a combination of GTA 5 and League of Legends and Escape of Tarkov, actually. Just catapulting. All of a sudden, their increased numbers have just shot up through the roof, and they've been carrying Twitch over the last couple months. And Pow World, I don't want to say it, Pow World is a huge success on Twitch, and honestly, it is a great game for Twitch content. What is better than making your own memes on your own stream regarding something that's Pokemon adjacent? This is almost,
Here's another thing. People were lighting us up about the comments. That there was going to be a lawsuit. This was called hyperbole.
I said gearing charisma, up for a lawsuit.
Comedy.
Like, God damn. People out here saying clickbait.
Delete the podcast. Do me a favor. Go to Anchor. Delete the RSS. Nuke it. Just nuke it from the internet. I'm done. I'm over it.
But.
You know what? I'm a coffee podcast now. Welcome back to Brewing with Bobby. Okay, today we're going to be talking about single origin.
That's not even on it. What about mashing beans with Matt? Come on, we could have done both. We're not a coffee podcast. Bobby, thoughts on Twitch? Get it. You're the one that has a time crunch, and you keep bringing up Brewing with Bobby. I'm done with your shit.
Look, the number one bellwether for a social platform is whether you see people like Gary Vee talking about it. And I've recently saw Gary Vee. He's like, oh, Twitch. I'm live streaming my whole day from Twitch. That's a terrible Gary Vee impression. I think he's a great founder, and what he's built is very impressive. But
accurate voice-wise, though.
It
was rude, but accurate.
It's like if Joe Pesci was a bass. But anyway.
So my big question, and what I wanted to touch on, is over the last couple of months, we've seen bad news come out of Twitch. Mm-hmm. There was layoffs, there was restructure, and there was a lot of leaning out of the like Twitch ecosystem, mostly in the customer service pieces. Do you think this, like their lack of success, the increase in kick, the increase in things like YouTube or streaming directly to YouTube, do you think, and their big Twitch like streamers leaving, Pokimane's leaving, Nick Merckx I think is on YouTube now, a lot of people leaving to go to
here's my thing. This is a cute little win for the moment. It does not solve any of the structural reasons that Twitch was in decline from beginning, which is discoverability and multi-factor content, whether that be Twitch Bytes, right? Whatever their shorts competitor is, whatever their VOD competitor is, right? Like, this is cute. I don't think that this is Twitch is back, baby. Like, it's not, because you haven't solved any of the structural problems.
You know that's the thumbnail.
What?
You know that's the thumbnail. What? Twitch is back, baby, and we're gonna get hit with.
Here's the title. Ready?
Yep.
YouTube CEO plans resignation as Twitch surges. Have a field day with that one.
But I agree. And listen, this was a nice little 5-month period for Twitch. I think it's more of a, they're still in the catbird seat. Like, they're still the number one streaming platform. They're going to have good months. And it's just, it was carried by over the holiday season. People had time off. People had expendable time that they needed. They spent more time watching Twitch.
Instead kids of with their loved ones.
No. Like, kids had time off from school. College kids had a month off all during this time period where, like, they have a bunch of free time now. Instead of going doing an internship or working, they're watching Twitch. Listen.
Basement.
And they're eating their avocado toast. And they're also the reason that if we ever have a draft, our country is screwed. But yeah, we got political here, but it was a bump during the holiday season where a lot of people have free time and they have expendable just like hours to give to Twitch. And then Pow World came out in January to cap it all off and to keep those revenue numbers growing.
If you just keep saying Pow World, Steam, just have this whole podcast be SEO words. Pow World, Steam, Helldivers 2, exclusivity.
Also, to everybody in our chat yelling at me about Pow World, I'll give you $50 if you could tell me what company makes Pow World. Because I can. I can tell you. Because I quoted one of the head of investor relations in our video regarding that they are gearing up for a Nintendo lawsuit, and you don't even know what Pocket Pair is. Also, the fact that the company that owns the Pocket Monsters competitor is Pocket Pair. The NFL script writers are also writing this. That's the only way the Chiefs won. But listen, as we take this into our final segment of the episode, the Discord question of the week, which if you're not in the Discord, join it, because it is
Philip Morris cigarettes. Breathe in.
We're never. Can't we make up like real, like good fake sponsors? Like
I've sent several inquiries to Philip Morris cigarettes.
Yeah, and I did yell at you for the one normal sponsor. You said Gatorade, and I yelled at you for it. So what are Discord question of the week? And if you're not in the Discord, get in the Discord, because it's been getting rowdy with some of these Discord questions of the week. We do it every week. You'll see it on Friday. It'll air on its own episode. What we're getting into today is, what is the most iconic moment in a video game? And Bobby, I'm going to let you get to yours last. I'll do mine second last, and we're going to go through some of the viewers.
Drink poison.
Yeah, Thick Grape said picking your red and blue starter, or whichever starter you entered the Pokemon journey in. And I 100% agree. This is a one-to-one inexperience that anyone who has ever played Pokemon can tell you what their first starter was and why it was the coolest one and why it is still their favorite starter to this day. Next, he also said when Cortana got hot. What I think he's referencing, and Bobby, you're going to be upset about this, is in Halo 4, I think they gave her toes. And I think that's what Grape is referencing. And you're about to get banned from the Discord, my guy. You're about to get banned from the Discord. The CPA says the opening scene of Uncharted, which
Uncharted
agree,
2
fair
the,
enough.
With the train is what he said, which I agree. They literally ripped it off one-to-one in the new Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And then he also said beating the Elite Four for the first time. I disagree with that just because I have no idea what team I beat the Elite Four with. It's a good take, and he had Typhlosion on his team, so I know you agreed with the fire take. But I'm more on your Uncharted pick. Pete said, hey, you're finally awake, a.k.a. the Skyrim intro, which 100%. I was debating on either putting Skyrim or Oblivion. I personally like the Oblivion intro better, but the Oblivion quote would have been like, you're the one from my dreams. Hilarious. And then my pick, what you're really here for, is one, Arthas becoming the Lich King, a.k.a. the Culling of Stratholme. In Warcraft 3...
That's words. Nothing you just said is words.
In Warcraft 3... the slow, methodical mission of an RTS game to go through a town of just villagers. There's no enemies. There's no actual people to fight. There's nobody that could put up a fight. It's you walk in, you open a farmhouse, you slaughter three villagers, and then you go to the next farmhouse and slaughter three villagers, and you slog through this quest to just kill innocent people and take Arthas down the first step of him becoming the Lich King, is an iconic gaming moment. Absolutely unbelievable gaming moment. Then, the intro to Hellblade, which I've recently played, is one of the most... It was awesome. You're just rowing in the little canoe while the voices are talking
to
you.
That's the
most
iconic moment.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. I'll take it over the Uncharted intro. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Bobby, what's your nonsense pick?
I'm torn, because I think the most iconic... Right, like, nobody knows what Hellblade is, so that's a terrible pick. The most iconic... I would say it's twofold. There's iconic for gamers, and there's iconic for gaming culture. And for that, I think the Pokemon thing is you know, valid. Like, everybody knows their first interaction with it, and most of it is being your starter. To me, the most iconic moment in gaming.
And it's also most memorable. So this was supposed to be focused more towards your experience with gaming, not necessarily like...
Well, in that case, it's a dead tie between Aerith... Spoiler alert. Everybody calm down. Everybody ready?
Yep.
She dies in Final Fantasy VII out of nowhere.
Game's like 30 years old.
that I would say is like the most like, no, what moment for most people.
Yep.
But the BioShock twist is, come on, both of them. Where in BioShock 1, the Would You Kindly twist, brilliant, brilliant. And in BioShock Infinite, the there's always a man, there's always a city, there's always a lighthouse, how everything is connected. Can't wait for Judas.
Yeah, it's going to be really good, Judas. It's going to be good. And it's one of the reasons why I have a PlayStation. But if you like what you heard here, like, follow, subscribe, see us on all social medias, join the Discord.
And also, remember, end of Red Dead 1. Let's wait.
You do the outro.
If you like what you heard, you want to hear more, leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you consume this
podcast. And also the Cactus Apples quest from World of Warcraft. See how annoying that is? See how annoying that is? It's so difficult. Like, comment, subscribe, follow us on Discord, join our social medias. We're active every day on all of them. And remember, as always,
happy gaming.